You're about to listen to the newest family member of SeavillePodcast.com. It's Dr. Tripp Stewart from Greenbrier Emergency Animal Hospital here in Charlottesville. Dr. Tripp Stewart will give you tips and information you need that can help for your pet safety. Greenbrier Emergency Animal Hospital is open 365 days a year, including 24-hour coverage on all major holidays.
Hello everyone, this is Dr. Tripp Stewart from Greenbrier Emergency Animal Hospital here with another blog. First, I'd like to say that I've got a little nasal congestion, some kind of upper respiratory virus that I'm sure everyone's got about this time of year. It's February in Charlottesville. And just on a side note, I think it's interesting that people don't worry about transmission of viruses between dogs, cats, and people because it's very, very rare. Bacterias and parasites, definitely, but not viruses. The ones you may have heard of, you freak out about, like avian influenza, pig swine fever, swine flu, rabies. These are the ones that really are terrible. It's that we worry about, not the common cold. So don't worry. If you've got the sniffles, you can kiss your dog and your cat. It's not going to transmit. Anyway, today's podcast is going to be on blocked cats. And I don't think I've done this before, but if I have, I apologize. It's something that's come up lately a lot. We've seen a lot of blocked cats. It's a urethral obstruction. It's in male cats. Although female cats can get blocked, it's pretty rare. But if you own a male cat, everybody that owns a male cat needs to know about blocked cats. It's a life-threatening condition. Like I said, males are way overrepresented versus females. It's usually caused by mucus crystals or even stones that clump together and form a plug in the narrowing of the urethra. That's the tube from the bladder to the outside world in the cat. That's where urine travels. These cats cannot urinate. They usually dribble small amounts if they can get anything by, or often there's nothing they can get out. And what you see is a cat in a litter box just yelling, yowling, straining, just in there all the time, just in and out, and not producing anything. No drops, nothing in your clumping litter, no urine at all. So it's hard sometimes to distinguish this from just a regular cystitis or urinary tract infection or feline lower urinary tract disease or something like that compared to a true block. So if you see your cat in and out of the litter box, don't freak out right away because it could be something else, but certainly be concerned. The way to differentiate between all those and this one is easy. Just feel the bladder. So the bladder is located in the cat before, in front of the legs, and behind the ribs, as it is in almost every other animal, but you just would feel it in that soft spot of the belly. And what you're feeling for is a grapefruit, an orange, or some kind of hard, round object in there. So you should certainly feel your cat's belly when you go home today or when you're at home, and make sure you feel a normal cat's belly so you know what the difference is. If you feel a grapefruit in there, then you're feeling the bladder. So a blocked cat is going to have this really firm, hard bladder, and that's how the veterinarian is going to tell that that's blocked as well. So if you feel that, go right to your veterinarian because it is an emergency. This is definitely an emergency. So now that your cat is blocked, what are you going to do? So you first thing you do is obviously go to a vet. You're going to go to a vet stat. If it's 4 in the morning, you go to the emergency vet. If it's 2 in the afternoon, you go to your regular veterinarian. And the veterinarian is first going to examine the cat and confirm it's a blocked cat. Most likely, they'll give you an estimate for all the treatment after that because it can get very expensive. And there are a few options that are not 100% necessary, but certainly in the cat's best interest. The next is the veterinarian usually will do blood work, and then at the concurrent time that the blood work is running, they will often either sedate the cat or offering some kind of anesthesia or painkiller to then make unblocking the cat a lot easier. So it's not something you often do in a weight cat, although we've done it many times when the cats are just comatose from all of the toxins circulating when they can't expel their urine, but usually you have to use some sedation or painkiller. We get an IV catheter in to make anesthesia more safe. Anesthesia is always a risk, as you know if you've listened to these podcasts, but it's something you have to do in these cases. So you unblock a cat. It sounds easy, like just passing a tube up the penis in through the urethra, but it's not. It's actually quite hard. Some of these cats can be properly blocked. I mean, that plug can be a real thick, long, deep plug, and getting a catheter up there can take quite a bit of time, and you use multiple catheters, different firmnesses and things like that, but I don't want to get into those details. But it can be hard. Then often the vet will put the animal on a closed collection system, which means that whatever urine comes out of that catheter, they collect. And this is really the best way to do it. Again, if cost is an issue, you can sometimes forego this, but it's not best. Closed collection, it stops more bacteria and yuck, to use a technical term, from going up into the bladder. So what you do with a closed collection system is you attach a line from the new catheter to a bag and you collect all the urine. It also really allows the veterinarian to measure the amount of urine produced and to see if the cat is currently blocked, if the catheter even gets blocked, which sometimes happens. It also allows you to measure ins and outs. So if you give the cat IV fluids, which we almost always do, it allows us to measure that the cat is producing urine, which they usually do as well. It also lets us look at the urine color, analyze the urine so we know when to pull the catheter at the end. Blood work, as I talked about initially, when you get this when the cat first comes in, is very, very important because some of these cats can be in renal failure because the urine that's blocked will actually back up all the way up into the kidneys and they won't produce any more urine. So you can go anuric, meaning you're not producing urine, or you can go into true acute renal failure. The other thing is the cat's electrolytes are totally usually off the boards because the amount of sodium in your urine and potassium is not being excreted, and so your body is now has an imbalance of the sodium potassium electrolytes, among others. So acidity, the pH of the urine, pH of the blood, all these things are very important factors which will tell us how sick the cat is, how much fluid it needs, and if it needs anything else. The last thing, or the next thing we do, is we give the cat urinary sphincter relaxing drugs. What these do is they often open up the sphincters of the bladder and let urine come out a little more freely. Now, they don't just cure the problem, but they're just another tool to let this whole process kind of heal itself. We also give a lot of pain medication, sometimes even sedation, because these cats are very painful. The urinary catheter is certainly uncomfortable, and the cats are often with an e-collar on their heads, and they're just not happy little campers. This goes on for usually about 48 hours. And after, 48 hours, we hope to see clean, clear urine. Now, the whole time, they're in a hospital, either an emergency clinic, your day vet, or bumping back between the two. Because they're getting IV fluids, they've got the urinary catheter, and it's not something you want to deal with at home. It's certainly a risk. You want to monitor that catheter and make sure it's producing urine. You want to make sure that there's no bacteria ascending up in there. There's a whole bunch of reasons, but they need to be in the hospital. So after a few days, we're going to check the cat. We're going to see if there's any changes in the blood work. We're going to make sure they're producing urine. We're going to make sure the urine is clean and clear. And about 48 hours later, we'll pull that catheter. Often we will then culture the tip of that catheter to see if any bacteria ascended or if there's any bacteria in the bladder or if any got in when we placed the catheter. Otherwise, in the 80% to 90%+ of these are not bacterially related, and so antibiotics are not often called for. So people do put them on prophylactic antibiotics. That is absolutely acceptable. But there's no real reason because the bacteria is not causing this problem. So how do we prevent this in the future? And that's, that's an important thing because this is a life-threatening condition for male cats. The very first thing we do is once we analyze the urine and find out why they blocked, if there's mucus, stones, a plug, if the pH of the urine is off, we change their diet. So they have urinary tract diets, and that's something very important. The diets can be absolutely essential. We had a case recently where the cat had blocked about 10 years ago. It had been on the special diet for 10 years, and in the past 2 months, the owner had changed the diet to something different, and the cat reblocked. It's that sensitive an issue for some of these cats. The other thing we do is we add a lot of fluid to their water, to their food. So you can put these cats on wet food, or you can add water to their food, make them a slurry or a soup, because the more water they take in, the more dilute the urine would be and the more they produce, and that would prevent reblocking. The other thing is, if these cats are repeat offenders or if it's indicated, they can have a surgery called a PU, a perineal urethrostomy. Essentially what that does is it sex changes the cat from a male to a female. It is a reconstructive surgery that changes the male genitalia to more closely resemble a female. And what it does is it eliminates the narrowing of the urethra near the end of the penis. And so bigger plugs, stones, mucus, things like that can pass more easily and not reblock. Now, there's always complications to surgery. It's a fairly difficult surgery. It requires anesthesia. But these animals do benefit greatly. And if you're someone who travels a lot and your cat has a history of blocking once or twice and maybe left alone for a day, which is enough to kill a cat if it's blocked, this is certainly something you really want to consider and talk to your local vet about. So all male cat owners should really be aware of this. This is something that we see a lot in the emergency room. I mean, weekly or biweekly or three or four times a week. All local vets unblock cats on a routine basis. And it is a death sentence that has maybe not that many long-term side effects if caught correctly and corrected. So it's certainly something to be aware of. If you own a male cat, do a little research into block cats. Maybe look at their urine, you know, have the urine analyzed to see if your cat's a candidate. Change diet, things like that. I hope this was helpful. You can visit our website at www.greenbrier-emergency.com for more blogs and podcasts. And we have a Facebook page, Greenbrier Emergency Animal Hospital, where we welcome suggestions for more podcasts. If you have a question, you can ask it. It will get in the system, and eventually I will get to it, and you'll hear it here, hopefully. Thanks, everyone. Pardon my nose.